You're watching Notepad and I'm your host Ibrahim Sani. A few weeks ago, I tried out my luck on Twitter and posted this particular poll. And what this poll decided to tell me was that 90% of you do not necessarily change your operating system between devices. If you've been on an Android for the past 3 years, 90% of the time, you're not going to switch to an iOS. And the same goes the other way around as well. If you've been on an iPhone device for the past 3 years, chances are you're still going to be on an iPhone device for the past 3 years. But, you know, this is not a scientific poll. And I decided to just try and reach out to those people that actually do this for a living. One of them is, of course, ADA, or Axiata's digital agency. And joining me is Vittorio Furlan, the head of business insights there, to actually discuss this and more about how the technology devices are going to impact consumers alike, people like you and me. Victoria, thank you very much for taking the time to spend your insights with us. Let's start with ADA per se, before we jump into further details. What do you guys do for a living?
Hey, first of all, Ibrahim, thank you very much for having me today. It's a real pleasure to be talking with you, and especially to the Malaysian audience. Look, ADA, actually Axiata Digital Advertising, is the largest independent digital agency in Southeast Asia. When we were born in a different way to agencies, because we said if we want to be different, the only way for us to do it is to really know the consumer market very well.
Okay, because you are a consumer company after all.
Exactly, we are a marketing agency at the end of the day. Mm. And you know, when you compare to the big out there, how can we differentiate ourselves? And so what we said is that let's capitalize on the fact that we come from a telco organization, and let's understand the consumers through the mobile devices themselves. Mm. So to a point that what we do, we basically capture the profiles of mobile devices across Southeast Asia. Mm. And so when we talk about consumers, we actually talk about individual consumers for us. And when we talk about analysis of the market, it becomes quite deep and relevant. Mm.
Okay, do you see yourself as having competitors within the other telco players in the country, or are you rather unique?
It's a very, very interesting question, because often they ask us, so tell me who your competitor is.
Yes.
I could tell you agency like Dentsu, or research agencies, or in some cases telco themselves. Mm. But actually, we don't see it in competition with them. We really think we fill a specific niche in the market that is the combination of marketing together with a very deep consumer insight.
Okay, before we jump into the whole conversation of what we just started off this interview with, I just want to learn a little bit about ADA. Do you see yourself as being redundant because there are other agencies out there that can actually provide the same kind of data, or you guys provide different kind of data?
No, I would say exactly the opposite, because probably we are the only one that is able to merge the marketing aspect, so the traditional agency, together with the data. So when you talk with us, for example, we can actually come up with campaigns that do not try to target the entire population. We have very small target audiences. We know exactly what to say, how to say it, and through which channel in order for you to achieve your results. Mm. And again, this is built on the fact that we keep profiles of mobile devices, and therefore we know a lot about the people that we are talking to and that we want to communicate a message to them.
How are you different from the necessary departments within corporations that do retail, for instance, the decision management team, the business intelligence team, those kind of teams? They too provide retail data for their business units. Mm. But you guys are slightly different in terms of presenting a little bit more than that. How are you similar or different from traditional business intelligence units?
We actually work with them. So we work with the business intelligence units of companies. We basically supply them with information about their own consumers. If you take, for example, retailers or shopping malls, we supply them with data about footfall, about their visitors, about where people come from, but also information about the people that don't come to the mall. And then I know that we are going to talk more about mobile devices.
Yeah.
We can basically understand what is happening across the entire population. So not just limited, for example, to one mobile operator, but we can look across the entire population in the country.
Of course, this is just to underline the fact that it doesn't have to be, say, Axiata customers only. It can be anyone.
Exactly. It can be any customer that uses, almost any customer that uses a smartphone in the country.
Okay,
it's something we profile.
Let's talk about privacy then. How are you managing that?
Look, I'm very, very happy that you asked this question, because often, in fact, always it's a big concern, privacy. And for us, it's extremely important. So important that we approached it in a very straightforward way. We do not keep personally identifiable information about the devices and about the consumers. So even if I know that this device was in a certain location, that this device has certain preferences, we simply ignore and do not collect information about the person. In that way, we are compliant to any type of regulation, but simply we do not know about the person.
All right, let's talk about the mobile phones per se. It is quite easily an identifiable device that is reflective of you, of the person, of the self. And we spend so much time on the devices anyway. And this cuts across income, status, locality, doesn't matter whether you're in town or whatever. We are who we are on our mobile devices. So therefore, it's kind of interesting for us to actually do an in-depth look into the kind of mobile phones that we have right now. Based on my extremely unscientific Twitter poll, how does my data match up with your data in terms of people switching devices? Is it really within that ballpark of 90% people not switching?
Look, you will be surprised how powerful can be this Twitter post in terms of giving you right information. But what we see is probably goes slightly broader than your post. You were interested about the switch between iOS to Android and vice versa. We really look at the market in a much deeper way, if you will. We are really interested in understanding specific devices, owners of specific devices, what they are going to buy next and when they buy next. If you just look at market share, if you stop at page number one of the report, you will see that Samsung is around on 30%. Apple is around on 16% for the Malaysian market, of course, followed by Huawei, Oppo, and Vivo. But then what comes interesting is when you actually turn to page number two and look what happens.
All right. Okay. We'll talk about page number two very short. We have to go for a short break. When we come back, we'll discuss with Vittorio of ADA about his research on mobile devices. Don't go anywhere. Thanks for staying on with us. You are still watching Notepad, and I am with Vittorio Furlan, the Head of Business Insights at ADA, an intelligence company. Vittorio, we were talking about some of the data that you shared just now. Over 30% is using Samsung, 16% is using Apple or iPhone, and then there's fragmented others in the market. What is interesting about this particular lineup, do people actually cross not just operating systems but cross brands as well?
So that's a very, very interesting aspect of page number two, if you will. So what probably there are three things that are happening in the market. Let me start with the first one. First of all, the market share of various devices is changing. So Samsung used to be the clear leader in Malaysia. Around 35% if you go back 2 years ago. Now it has dropped to 30%. But also there are certain states, take for example Kelantan or Johor, where Samsung has got no more the market leadership. So when you look at that, what is happening is that people are actually moving away from Samsung. Apple is actually keeping stable on around 15 to 20% across these states. But what is really changing is with Vivo, Xiaomi, Oppo, and Huawei. Those are the real winners of this change.
Okay. What kind of percentages or gains that they have made over the past 2 years?
Look, they've been quite significant, and I think that one brings us to the next point of the change. Generally speaking, device owners will replace their phone between every 2 to 3 years, approximately, for the Malaysian market. Mm. Now, when you look at the Samsung devices in the market, 70% of them are older than 2 years, which means two things. One is that the Samsung owners are kind of waiting for the next Samsung thing to come, and perhaps it's not actually coming. But most importantly is that there is a big chunk that is about to go in the market for a new device. Mm-hmm. So all the Samsung phones are becoming old, and they are about to be switched. Mm. Now, when you look at other ones, and I just look at my notes here, Huawei is in the opposite situation. 60% of their phones are younger than 2 years. So it means that there is a switch between the brands, either because the new buyers go straight to Huawei, or because people that are replacing Samsung phones don't go back to Samsung, but go to companies like Huawei.
Sorry, you're painting a very bleak future for Samsung. Because just to recap, you say that those that have Samsung, 70% of them, or 2 out of 3 people that have Samsung, is actually an old phone. And 60%, or roughly about the same figure, 2 out of 3 people have Huawei, are owning a new Huawei phone. Does this mean that, you know, Huawei is going to be doing fairly well, and Samsung is going to head into some sort of troubled waters?
There is definitely some considerations to be made if you are, a Samsung executive or a Huawei executive. Of course, the situation in the market share will not drop straight away. So, as a Samsung, you will still retain quite a large market share. But the reality is that is declining. And if you decide to ignore this change, then you will find yourself in troubled water for sure in a couple of years.
When we started this show, I pulled up the Twitter poll that talks about not the brands itself, but the operating system itself. And Huawei is indeed going through some interesting times right now because of the trade war, because of Trump being who he is. There's a lot of people trying to, discuss in serious consideration whether or not they should buy the latest Huawei phone, because they don't have Google Apps pre-installed. Mm. They don't have Android any longer. What does this mean for Huawei and the customers of Huawei outright?
Look, what we see, and we base everything that we say now is based on the actual data that we see in number of devices. So we don't go out to interview people or ask them what they think. We look at actually what people do. Mm. And we see that Huawei is not really affected by this trade war. There is a continuous increase in market share in Malaysia, as if actually people are not bothered by the trade war or by the changes in apps that have been installed. I think the third point that is quite important to consider, again, when you look at the Samsung devices, most of them belong to the expensive group. So what we classify as being beyond 1600 ringgit. What we see in the new devices being sold, actually there is a shift between the expensive ones to the medium ones and the cheaper ones.
I'm sorry, can you say that again? The shift between the expensive ones to the medium ones.
Absolutely.
So there people are buying down.
People are buying down more and more. And when you look at the way that Samsung still positions itself, for example, with the Galaxy Fold, which probably is going to be an 8,000 device, perhaps their focus should slightly shift and focus more on the cheaper devices, because that is what the market is actually asking for.
Galaxy Fold pre-sold units have been, you know, fully subscribed. I don't know how many units outright were in the pre-order kind of phase, but it kind of signals to the market that people want this kind of phone.
Yeah, absolutely. There will always be a slice of the market that they want expensive devices. There is no doubt about that. But here we are looking at the large numbers. Here we are looking at the tens of millions of devices in the market. And when you look at those ones, the reality is that there is an interest for the medium range or the low end of the scale, which probably Samsung at this stage is not entirely satisfying. We definitely saw that in states with, in a way, a lower purchase power, for example, like Kelantan. But we also see that happening more and more in states like Selangor and KL, or even in places like Melaka, which arguably have a higher disposable income.
This is so interesting. Okay. What would you classify as a mid-range phone? What kind of prices are we talking about?
So for our classification, we talk anything between 800 and 1600.
So, okay, so anything below 800 is low-cost phones.
Exactly.
Okay, and then the conversation is on Apple users or iPhone buyers. Do you think that they are now in trouble because, not the buyers, but Apple itself, because they can't grow their market share in a country like Malaysia?
So they've been able to keep it stable, if you will, and probably they will be able to continue it. If they want to grow it, they really need to think about different approaches. They've been able to cover a different price range in the market, which satisfies the Malaysian market, but definitely there is a strong stickiness in iOS and Android that makes it difficult to switch device.
We'll take a short break. When we come back, we'll continue our fantastic conversation with Vittorio. Don't go anywhere. Thanks for staying on with us. You are still watching Notepad, and I'm with Vittorio Furlan of the agency company or intelligence company called ADA. Vittorio, let's recap our conversation. Generally speaking, I'm using this as broad strokes, of course. Generally, people are buying down. If they're from a premier kind of group, they're now buying down to medium phones. The three or four companies from China doing fairly okay or fairly well. We're talking about Huawei, Oppo,
Vivo.
Does this also signal that aggressive marketing campaign can actually, you know, get more market share? Is that a correlation that we can actually make here or deduce here?
Look, there are probably two important aspects. One is definitely there seems to be an appeal for these new products. And again, going back to our previous point, the fact that Huawei is suffering troubles with the United States, it does not seem to affect the local market. In fact, it may be that that's advertising for free for them, simply because people are attracted by these fancy and interesting devices. And at the end of the day, when you look at the photographic capability of those devices, they are quite powerful, and that's what really people are interested. But the second important point is that organizations they will need to understand much more about their consumers. And again, not to talk necessarily about ADA here, but what we really do and what we help organizations is to understand for each device owner, how they're gonna switch and why they're gonna do it.
Okay, let's talk about why they're gonna do it. Do you have any ideas on why people, or what are the motivations behind people switching devices or switching operating systems outright?
Yeah, look, definitely there is, first of all, there is the age of the device. That's something that is always to be kept in mind. People tend to switch devices an average range between 2 to 3 years in the Malaysian market. The devices become, for certain generations, even a replacement of the camera. And so people may just replace device simply because they want to upgrade their camera capabilities. What we tend to do, we look at actually each and every device owner, again in a anonymous way, because there are different characteristics. There are different ages, there are different purchase power, there is different gender, different habits. And when you start creating that picture about the segments of the device owners, so then you can understand why they're going to switch and where they're going to switch to. That's not something that I'm gonna necessarily share today with you, but it's something that we are more than happy to discuss in the future about page 4 and page 5 of the report.
Let's talk about tablets then, and therefore computers. We are moving towards a post-PC world. You know, we see companies, even people, companies like Apple, you know, not necessarily advertising more and more MacBooks, or trying to push forward their iPads and how their iPhones can actually move towards tablet capabilities. Microsoft has unveiled a series of Surface laptops. Do you think that the kind of behavior that we see for mobile devices, for handphones in particular, are now translating into how they use their tablets as well?
Look, that's possible. There is no doubt that tablets are becoming, in a way, a replacement of laptops. That's happening. If you look outside Malaysia, actually, there are many organizations that have just given away with the laptops or desktops altogether, and they just give tablets. They look fancy. They're portable. You can connect them to the phone network, and so something similar may well happen in that space.
And there's no insights for that in terms of, you know, moving towards more iPads or more, you know, Surface, for instance.
Within ADA, we also look at the tablets, even though that's a smaller share of the devices that we profile, because we tend to look only at devices that are connected to the phone network. But definitely something we are going to introduce in the future. Because again, it's becoming more and more prevalent. It's becoming important to understand how these shifts are happening.
Okay, so I'm a company and I want to learn more on how to best develop my marketing plan. And I want to target more precise customers, and I have long engagement with them. How does having this kind of information, the information that you just shared the past half an hour, how does this help me craft a better marketing, I guess, program or marketing project for these kind of companies?
Oh, it's extremely powerful, Ibrahim, extremely powerful. And there are two important aspects to that. When you think about marketing, there is, of course, a very large cost to it. And you know very well, being a TV station, that you depend on companies like us and our clients. The reality is that the first step is to understand exactly who you want to target to and what you're actually targeting. Because with that first step, through information like the information that ADA has, you can actually create very specific target audiences so that you can actually reduce the number of people that you send your messages to. And if I were to receive, again, a message targeted to a millennial, a woman, perhaps I would not be responsive. But if you know exactly who I am, in a way, middle-aged man, expat, then that would resonate much better with me. And that's definitely the first step, understanding exactly who you want to target and being able to handpick those people.
How is this different from, you know, 100 ringgit campaign on Facebook or 80 ringgit campaign on Instagram? Companies can just do this, right? Like just like that?
You can indeed do such campaigns. The real cost typically is much higher than 80 or 100. I think that the challenge here is becomes that you really depend on one single platform. So you could use Facebook, you could use Instagram, but what you really want to do is to choose the best channel for the audience that are targeting. And again, depending on the time that you talk to people, the channel may also change. So for example, at ADA, we use an approach that we are, in a way, for our clients, channel agnostic, so that we simply choose the best medium of communication based on the audience and based on the time.
All right. Okay. Thank you very much, Vittorio. That was a very interesting conversation. I was speaking to Vittorio Furlan, the head of business insights at ADA. If you've missed any part of this interview, just head on to srawani.com. Look for Notepad there. These kind of interviews can be found there. You can also watch these kind of interviews on your mobile devices. Just download the Astro Awani app. Wherever you get your application, including, so for instance, if you're on iOS, get it from the Apple Store, the App Store, and Google Play. That's it from me for this particular episode. Thanks very much for watching. Until next time. Thank you.